I'm here with Danny Edson, who's racing director at Santa Anita, a position he recently acquired. He's a Santa Anita guy. We go back 35 years, maybe plus, Danny.
Go figure. And the run into your brother last night was a trip in itself. We haven't talked for, well, the last time I saw you was at Belmont when American Pharoah was trying to win the Triple Crown.
Yeah, that was a great week.
Special day.
Yeah, very special day. Never forget my daughter climbing on the desk and jumping up and down and crying as he was coming down the stretch. That was quite a sight. It was a thrilling day for everybody. A lot of people had never seen a Triple Crown win before. You and I had that pleasure, but anybody younger than us didn't get that chance. And it was a fantastic day for everybody.
I mean, I don't think I've had chills like that in a long time when that horse hit the top of the stretch and the race call. I mean, that was just the excitement in the air was just incredible.
Yeah, and especially, you know, there's been a lot of near misses. And, you know, my favorite near miss, if you want to call it that, I wasn't too happy that day, but Smarty Jones. I mean, everybody's screaming and yelling at the top of the lane. And when they hit the wire, it sounded like a morgue. You know, it just went from elation to silence in like 1 second. It was the weirdest racetrack experience I think I ever had.
I think I can relate to that because if you remember the year before American Pharoah, California Chrome showed up to Belmont 3 weeks in advance, and there was so much hype leading up to that race. And when he finished fourth, it was a huge letdown. You could feel it in the crowd. And at that time, there was like 120,000 people there.
Yeah, it was.
I can relate to what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was wild. Well, like I say, we go back a long ways. You were working for Eddie Gregson. The late great Eddie Gregson, when I first met you, and we used to have some fun mornings on the Santa Anita apron and talk about a lot of things. One thing is I was recalling some of our experiences together. We talked about a concept that you actually came up with, a team training concept, where two trainers would get together and pool their horses and train together. And you and I were kind of planning on doing that at some point. Our careers led to different paths, you going to the racing office and me going into media. But I still think about that team training thing and how cool that would have been to have two people running the show and actually be able to have a life as a horse trainer.
I think it is a novel concept. I mean, you have multiple ownerships nowadays. What's wrong with having, you know, two trainers? You can have one that takes responsibility for owners and another one, take responsibility for the horses, and you can exchange notes back and forth. And if somebody actually wanted to take a day off, you could do it because, you know, you were actually covered with somebody else that was equally responsible. But I guess the business is too competitive, and the logistics probably don't merit doing something like that. But it was a thought back in the day.
Yeah, well, you need two forward-thinking, highly evolved people like ourselves to pull that off.
Yeah, go figure out. Are there any left?
I don't know. We used to have some lofty goals. I think Eddie Gregson was part of that, hanging around him, and he always looked at racing from a different point of view, and what you and I often considered the proper point of view. He was a big influence on us in a lot of ways.
He really was. I'm sorry about that. There's a tractor, but Eddie Gregson was one of the true great gentlemen of the sport, and I don't think I've ever worked for anybody that put the horse first as much as he did, and you know him as well as I did, and I think it was reflected on the help who was with him for years. I mean, myself, I was with him for over 14 years, and just a wonderful person and a wonderful horseman.
Yeah, he was an unbelievable guy and great to hang around. You've had a nice string of mentors. When you went to Northern California, you had Bob Umfrey, who was one of the most outstanding human beings I think I ever met.
I had the pleasure of working with Bob Umfrey at Golden Gate Fields in the late 80s and 90s. And you talk about somebody that had a great racing mind. He was one of the best. He had an unbelievable memory for detail and for horses. And he was a person's person. And, you know, I don't think there wasn't anyone he didn't get along with. And I've also had the fortunate experience of working with Martin Panz at Hollywood Park and, you know, recently at NYRA for 4 years. And to me, Martin Panz is probably one of the most creative person in racing today. And to work for him for over 17 years has been a true pleasure. And he's taught me a lot, and he's helped me along, and I'll always be appreciative of what he's done for me. And I'll miss working at NYRA. I won't miss living in New York, but I'll miss the racing there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is great racing. New York racing is fantastic, and it's really getting better with the New York bred program blossoming like it has. And, you know, when you're up at Saratoga, you just go, wow, this is really, really great. But, you know, you've got some new challenges now. You're not a neophyte to being in charge at the racetracks in California. You worked at Hollywood Park for a long time. It's a new challenge. It's a new day in California. I mean, things have to change. I understand, and I know, you know, Mr. Stronach's been, you know, harping on that. But California racing has been in a little bit of a downward spiral for a while, and I think things can turn around. And I'm glad you're going to be part of that.
Well, thank you. It's a different philosophy today, and obviously the management here is proactive. They're trying different things. I've only been here a short time, so I'm not completely tied on. But from what I can see, they're not lacking in trying different things. And as you know, racing can become very complacent, and you know, people are used to doing the same thing over and over again, and sometimes that doesn't work. So it'll be interesting moving forward how the changes that are being made, the horsemen respond to and try to move forward and, you know, create a new experience for the fans at this beautiful track. And it is a beautiful track. And it has one of the unique features that no other track in the country has, and you're very much aware of it, is a downhill turf course. And it's when you watch races coming down the hill like that, it's a sight to be seen.
Yeah, it's a very exciting, almost every downhill race is an event. And it's one of the most beautiful places on earth, at least in my eyes. Anybody that's trained horses there or worked at San Anita in the morning, you walk out to the racetrack in the morning and you see the sunrise and the aprons there and the beautiful mountains. And I mean, you know, on a clear day or a really nice sunny day, it's just spectacular. I mean, you're just awestruck by the whole thing. And I've told people that are, you know, they say, oh, I'm going to San Anita for the first time, you know, what should I do? And you tell them, well, just go out in the morning and walk out as the sun's rising. And they look at you like you got five heads.
I mean, but where do you find the backdrop that you have here at San Anita with the San Gabriel Mountains? It's just incredible. And being away from it for 4 years and being in New York, you come back and you take for granted what you left, and now you appreciate it even more when you come back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just, you know, this is a great place, and it's a beautiful racetrack. It's one of the most beautiful tracks in the country, and it has its own personality, just like Saratoga, Del Mar. But this has always been a special place to me, as you know. We kind of grew up around here, and this is home. So I'm really excited about being back in California and seeing familiar faces, and whatever I can do to help the philosophy of Mr. Ritvo and Rick Hamerly, then that's what I'll do. So I'm looking forward to the challenge. And like you said, it is a challenge. Racing is something that you always got to keep looking forward. You cannot become complacent, because there's too much competition nowadays for the betting dollar and just the entertainment itself.
Yeah, and Santa Anita does an excellent job with their marketing. I love the photos on Instagram and on Twitter from Clocker's Corner and that kind of thing. But going back a little ways in history, you told me before we came on the air that you have Mr. Kilroe's office, Frank E. Jimmy Kilroe, the longtime director of racing at Santa Anita, and to my mind, the greatest horse racing mind I've ever been around. I mean, things Mr. Kilroe told me a long time ago, 30, 40 years ago, are still true today, and they prove themselves out over and over again. So you've got some big shoes to fill, Tommy Robbins, you know, following Mr. Kilroe and all the great things he's done. So, I mean, you've got your work cut out for you, but I know you're an innovative guy yourself. And, you know, how do you see your new position and what vision do you have moving forward?
At this particular time, I think whatever vision I have is going to have to be with what business model that the Shronic Group has established here. And only being here a short period of time, I really have to take a wait and see attitude and see where they want to go with racing here in California and how they want to go about it, and then kind of make my judgment after that. It's kind of walking before you run, and you're right, I have big shoes to fill. I pinch myself knowing that Jimmy Kilroe used to be in that office, and I always used to remember him walking through the barn area saying good morning to everybody. And you know, when I first started out training horses, he was director of racing, and he gave me a shot. And it's kind of ironic that I end up in his office. And that's kind of like, you know, my career has come full circle. And I'm greatly appreciative of where I'm at right now. And I want to do what's best for racing here. And I wish I could give you more insight, but at this particular moment, being away from racing in California for 4 years and the different management style, I need to do a wait and see how everything falls into place and kind of go forward from there.
Yeah, you've only been there, what, like 3 weeks or something?
Not even, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's baptism of fire. They're throwing you into the deep end of the pool.
Exactly. But the good news is I know everybody here already.
Yeah. And how cool is that? Isn't that great when you come back? Everybody at Santa Anita, at Del Mar, I mean, when I go back there to do a broadcast or a Breeders' Cup or whatever, everybody's so nice and they're so happy to see you. It's just the greatest feeling you could have, really.
It really is, and I've had such a warm welcome from all familiar faces. So hopefully sometime in the future, whatever is expected of me, I don't disappoint, and you know, just see what happens.
Well, you've got a long history of success in every facet. You're a horseman's guy. You know how it is to be on the other side of the fence. Not management, but out there putting the product out on the track every day. That's got to give you an edge, and we certainly are really excited to see you have that position and be sitting behind Mr. Kilroe's desk. And the next time I'm at Santa Anita, I'm going to come and sit in the chair that I used to sit to and talk with Mr. Kilroe, and it's going to be you on the other side. That's going to be a thrill for me. So,
yeah, both of us, actually.
Really looking forward to that. So I appreciate your time. I know you're really busy. You got entries and stuff. So anyway, I'll let you go. But thanks for spending a few minutes with us. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Jude, and stay in touch, please, okay?
All right, will do.